Hello again, and welcome to episode number 2 of Design Expressions presented by Pacific Sales and Jenner Luxury Appliances. This is Fernando Marfil, Regional Sales Manager for luxury appliance brand Jenner.
And this is Sean Ayala from Pacific Sales Kitchen and Home, a Best Buy company.
Today's episode, we're going to be chatting about saving the Formosa Cafe, a staple, an iconic architecture wonder based in Hollywood, California.
I'm excited to be back, Fernando. Episode 2, we have some great interviews today, so let's jump right in. If this is the first time you're learning about the Formosa Cafe, you are in for a treat.
It's been open since 1939. For decades, it was the hangout for the biggest stars in Hollywood.
This place is located right across the street from the Goldwyn Studio, which meant celebrities like James Dean, Frank Sinatra, Humphrey Bogart, and even Elvis Presley. You would find in those days hanging out, having dinner, or a drink. But this episode isn't about these celebrities. We have our own modern-day celebrities we are excited to talk with today. We are going to hear from Rod Woodson, Jamie Rummerfield, Allison Martino, Bobby Green, Lisa Stranges, Jamie Adler. So, Fernando, who will we start with?
First, I would like to introduce the amazing founders of SIA, Saving Iconic Architecture, and the work that they've done for saving, of course, the Formosa Cafe and many other incredible architectural treasures across Southern California.
Fernando, I agree. This is straight from their website. SIA's mission is to bring awareness and action to preserving endangered architectural and significant cultural structures as art. Now that's impressive.
I'm Ron Woodson.
Hi, I'm Jamie Rummerfield with Woodson and Rummerfield's House of Design, and we're Save Iconic Architecture. Tonight we're at the legendary Formosa Cafe. It was originated in 1939, and it's still here today in Hollywood.
It was, the Formosa was a haunt to the celebrities. We're right in the heart of Hollywood. We're across the street from the studios. And the 33 group restored it to its original grandeur and even better. And we're here to celebrate all things preservation with architecture.
When it comes to saving iconic architecture, the history of LA is so important, and we're losing so many structures on a daily basis, and places like the Formosa Cafe have a lot of history and heritage to Hollywood, but also to what has shaped our city, and we have to preserve those places because they're special. And tonight we're celebrating the Formosa Cafe, and we continue to fight and champion for notable architecture throughout Los Angeles and Southern California by the works of Paul Williams, A. Quincy Jones, Richard Neutra, just to name a few.
And it's interesting, we formed SIA 5 years ago because the plight of losing our historic and iconic architecture is happening so rapidly now. It's happening faster than it ever has before because our real estate, our land, is so valuable, and these developers are just coming in and desecrating our city. And Jamie and I decided we needed to do something about it, and we formed SIA in 2016. So we've lost several, and we also have some gains, but one of the losses that we had a year and a half ago was the Ava Gabor Estate, which was a Paul R. Williams home in Holmby Hills. That one we lost. We lost the Litton Savings Bank building on the corner of Sunset and Crescent Heights. And we're constantly working to be on the offense to save these structures. And we have saved some notable ones. We saved some Donald Wexler's in Palm Springs. Richard Neutra is here in LA proper. And so we're just really trying to do our part to save as much of our city as we possibly can. Because once that history is erased, it's gone forever.
And there's no place like Hollywood.
My favorite architect is Paul R. Williams. He was the first black architect to be inducted into the AIA. And he was so prolific in Los Angeles. I mean, you drive up and down the streets and you may not have an idea that Paul Williams designed that structure. I mean, from the host building at LAX, and he was coined the architect to the stars. I mean, he single-handedly designed and built Beverly Hills, Holmby Hills, Bel Air. I mean, those houses are incredible. And some of them, he had a signature, but then you can go next door and there might be one that's very different. So we still are fighting to save his properties because, again, there's only a few left. And again, if that history is erased, it's erased forever. And he's such a cultural icon for LA. And I feel, as being an African American, growing up, I'm a third generation Angeleno, and growing up in this city and knowing what he contributed to this city means the world to me.
And we're right in the middle of a nomination for a Paul Williams residence, which is called the Paley Estate, and it's the largest estate in Holmby Hills that was by Paul Williams, the most glamorous estate. It was the home of the Hilton, Baron Hilton, for 60 years, and it's not protected, and it's at risk, and so we're writing the landmark nomination for it. You know, there is absolutely zero protection for notable structures in Los Angeles. Our preservation programs are very limited, and we are big advocates for increasing those levels of protection for legendary structures, notable architecture. And so we work with the Office of Historical Resources in the city of LA. And you know what? Out of a city of millions of structures, there's two people in the Office of Historic Resources of LA. We don't think that's good enough. The city of LA can do better. And so we constantly push them to care about preservation, and slowly but surely they know Save Iconic Architecture, and the city really does respond to the requests for more awareness to preservation. And I really am optimistic that we can make more strides in protecting our notable structures, not just one by one, but in large masses. Like every Paul Williams structure should just be protected. It should be a given. It shouldn't be nominated each one, because we're doing one by one right now, and it takes a very long time. And so what we're finding is, how can we bridge the documentation that's already established in LA, which is called Survey LA, and how do we bring that to our building and safety departments who issue demo permits because they don't talk to one another? And really, there's so many cities that already do wonderful preservation, and LA should be at the forefront of that, and we think it can be.
Right, right. And what our mission is we bring education, awareness, and landmarking to these structures. And in Los Angeles, you don't have to be the owner of a property to landmark it. And so that is one of the objectives that Save Iconic Architecture does on a daily basis. And these landmarking initiatives, it takes a long time, and it takes a big effort. And so we have to hire historians, and it's a long and arduous process. Especially the more notable the property is, the longer that it takes. So we're constantly on the go. Again, bringing that awareness, that's one of the big things that we do. Because we feel like if we bring the education and awareness, it'll get people to think. And maybe think twice before they decide to tear down a property without abandonment, just because they can.
So when it comes to technology and the products that are used in the kitchens, and in today's usage for high-end design, high-end kitchens, it's all about personalization. And so our clients want products that they can be, really have a showpiece. The kitchen is the nucleus of the house and where people gather, and they want options. So whether it's technology in your smartphone that you can set the oven from your car on your way home from work, people really want that efficiency, but also very good looking products. And so Gen Air has probably one of the most streamlined collections in today's market, and we're big fans of Gen Air.
Because we're interior designers, that's our first line of business. Jamie and I have been business partners for nearly 20 years, and we have to be on the forefront of knowing what's new, what's next, and what's the best for our clients. And as Jamie mentioned, Gen Air is a partner that we've worked with for many years now, and they've been so great to us with SIA. They've sponsored many events with us, and the product, aside from there being great people to work with, is just bar none the best out there. And our clients look to us for the best.
Thank you, Jamie and Ron. Your work is incredible. So why is it important to save architecture? Sean, I know you have some innovative ideas like I do, but I would like to hear about why you think it's so important to preserve these architectural jewels.
Great question, Fernando. Jamie said it the best. Architecture is thought-provoking art in the third dimension. Absolutely love that phrase. I see it as a timestamp, like music, right? There will never be another Jay-Z Reasonable Doubt album or even a Michael Jackson Thriller. There's an appreciation and a hidden beauty that can be revealed if you just take a moment to learn, observe, and experience the craft and details that these artists and designers create. There will never be another like piece of art when it's done the first time. And that's why it's so important.
Now let's hear from Allison Martino. Allison is going to tell us about the Formosa Cafe story, why we're here, the Duke, John Wayne, and the Formosa. And of course, the importance of saving architectural landmarks throughout LA, her favorite architects, and her design TV experience.
I've been native, so I've been coming to the Formosa since, can I say, before I had a real ID? So I've seen it go through a lot of changes, but I always said it felt like a movie set. You know, when you watch LA Confidential, that's not a movie set. And they're coming into the Formosa, no sets are needed, and the camera goes on, and it's like a movie set. And then, through the years, it started to go through changes. You know, it was still, it was a little divier, you know, a little grittier. Food was never good. And then Bobby Green stepped in with 1933 Group. We were all very excited because it was on the chopping block. And there was a LA Conservancy stepped in, and everyone sort of stepped in. I had my Facebook page, which is several hundred thousand, right in, and got to save the Formosa. The city was, from what I hear, great, and you know, felt, of course, it should have landmark status. So once Bobby and his team got a hold of this place, it's never looked better. I mean, I imagine it's what it looked like when it first opened. So everything from that wallpaper back there to the awnings here, I mean, it's definitely enhanced since the days I came here, but it's fancier. We need fancy. Yeah, John Wayne used to, well, they had movie studios across the street. So during the heyday of 60s and 70s, John Wayne used to come in here and fall asleep in the booths downstairs. And I guess that he used to wake up here and then just walk across to his office. Well, as a native, I can tell you it really pains me every day to drive around this neighborhood, the neighborhood I grew up in, and not recognize it. And the town needs mascots. We need to see things that we grew up with. And once they're gone, it's very disorientating. You don't know where you are, and we need balance. And everything seems to be coming down. The Sunset Strip is a perfect example of it's really changing. I know it's always changed through the years, but the buildings are going higher, and the buildings are getting uglier and less character. I mean, we used to grow up with, we had Spanish architecture and Adobe-like architecture, Art Deco architecture, mid-century. I don't know what it is now, but it's big glass blocks, and I say it's like LA is having like an architectural breakdown or something. It's just really scary. This is obviously just a two-story little building, and we are so lucky it's still here, because nothing is going to be this size anymore. It's going to be massive. You're not going to know where you are. It's going to remind you of Dubai. The Hollywood skyline is changing. You know, it used to be the Capitol Records was the skyline, and now these buildings are shooting up next to it and dwarfing it. The Chinese theater has been dwarfed. They don't know what they're doing over there in Hollywood. So, sorry, they don't. We are from Hollywood. This is Hollywood. This looks like Hollywood, right? This looks like Hollywood. Let's keep it Hollywood. When people come to visit Hollywood, this is what they want to see. I'm into houses, too. I love John Wolfe as an architect. You know, Neutra, obviously. I love when these homes are preserved. You know, it's okay to buy a house if it's not that great a shape. Just get it done, you know? Just have it. Get the right landscaper. I mean, you don't have to tear everything down, you know? You can get the right person to restore it. If you want to add on to it, sure. But they're ripping everything down. All the houses with character, like in Beverly Hills. Hancock Park is, luckily, they have a great team over there. They don't allow houses to be torn down. You can't just tear it down and put what you want up. It's ordinance, which is good. And Beverly Hills, for example, oh, you want to buy that? Sure, tear it down. There's no landmarking statuses over there. There's like 7 or 8 places. So if we don't start landmarking them now and making them important, and we're not going to know where we are anymore. And, you know, the tours, when people come out, they want to go, they want to see where Lucy lived and where Jack Benny lived and Peter Falk lived. Well, imagine, oh, well, those houses are all gone. Luckily, they're not. Those are still with us. Some of them have been altered pretty bad. But we just need to save Hollywood a little bit. Save iconic architecture, save Hollywood. No one's educating them. Realtors aren't telling them who lived there and what this is, what the importance of that art. They don't even, some people don't even know the architect of the homes that they buy. It's not like you get a booklet, you know? So you gotta do the homework. But with the internet, you can find out a lot about old buildings. Newspapers.com, put addresses in, you can find out what was there before. So every building in this city that hasn't been torn down has a history. I'm very familiar with interior design and design in general because I produce shows like Extreme Home Makeover and Trading Spaces. And so I worked very closely with designers. So I learned a few things.
Thank you, Allison, for incredible background in regards to the Formosa Cafe. Now let's hear from Bobby Green. He's going to talk about the restoration process, his next projects, and of course, the final thoughts and the importance of saving iconic architecture in Southern California and beyond.
My name is Bobby Green, and we're here at the Formosa Cafe. We're here for the SIA, you know, event of, I guess, it's kind of a holiday party, really. First one we've had in probably 2 years. It's a wonderful night. We're at the Formosa, which is a very famous Hollywood spot. It was saved by myself and my company and restored. It's exactly kind of like the perfect place to be because, you know, Save Iconic Architecture, you know, fights for places like this. And so it's nice to be in a place celebrating the fruitful outcome of that fight. And we're all in the fight together, and I'm just one of the many soldiers. Well, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles, and so I just fell in love with, like, the whimsical craziness about L.A., and as I grew up, things started disappearing, you know, and it got kind of sad and depressing. And so I got into the hospitality business and I was in the design business. So I kind of took those two and put them together and thought, I'm just going to make a life of fun design and try to start, you know, creating or saving, you know, memorable things about Los Angeles that I can. So 23 years later, here we are. I've saved at least 4 historical restorations, and we're moving on to our 5th. So we started this, I would say, at the beginning of 2018. It was about a 2-year process. We spent about $2.5 million, which was probably $1 million more than we thought we would spend doing it. But we knew how important and how worthy of a restoration it would be for the Formosa. Because the Formosa, it's such a treasured establishment in Los Angeles. It's almost like if Hollywood had a museum. It does now, but
for decades that did it. And the Formosa was kind of LA's museum up to Hollywood. So we spent a lot of time restoring it. It took about a year longer, like I said, but it was worth it. The importance of restoring famous historical places is not only because they're famous and historical, but it also brings generations together. Like, I could talk to my grandmother about the Formosa. I could say, Grandma, I went to Formosa last night. She would say, I remember that. Let me tell you a story about that. And that connects us. I also kind of talk about these places as mascots of neighborhoods. They bring neighborhoods together. They're an icon of that neighborhood. And you could travel the world, show someone a photo, and they'll know where you live. They have never been there before, but they know about it. And that's the importance of these famous buildings or famous landmarks. And they have to be saved. They're far more important than a brand new box that's going to get torn down in 10 years. I'm kind of a vintage buff, right? So I haven't looked at a new architecture magazine in my whole life, really. And when I do, I get confused. I don't even know what I'm looking at. You know, I spend my time reading books, old books, you know, or digging through archives of photos of history. You know, I'm a car guy, too, and I do the same thing with cars. I look at old black and white pictures more than I look at any new color photo. So to me, you know, I'm not exactly like living in the past, but I'm studying it intently. And I get to know the materials, the way things were done back then. And so it helps me so much in my restoration. Our processes for, you know, doing a really proper, true restoration are not only photos. You know, a photo is worth 1,000 words, but there's also words out there. And we dig deep into archives. We find newspaper articles. We find people who are living, who may have worked there, who may have built it, who may have had some hand in it. So we kind of cover all bases when it comes to restoration. Not only photographic, but also like interviews with the people. We record them and we dig up every bit of print and ephemera we can find to give us the entire picture of what we're dealing with. I'm super excited about our next project because it's one of my favorite from childhood. It's The Tale of the Pup, which you can see I'm wearing my pin right here, Tale of the Pup. It was a giant hot dog stand, and it was at La Cienega and Beverly Boulevard before the mall, the Beverly Center. Before that was there was a place called Kitty Land, and it was kind of a child's amusement park in a way, horse rides and all that kind of stuff. And The Tale of the Pup was there. And then even after the Beverly Center was built, I would still go to The Tale of the Pup. All the way into my teens, I went to The Tale of the Pup. So to me, The Tale of the Pup was Los Angeles. And not just me, but, you know, also famous celebrities. It was almost kind of a thing, like, if you're an up-and-coming celebrity or an up-and-coming band, you have to get your picture taken at Tale of the Pup. So we have a great collection of amazing images. And that kind of pop culture in Los Angeles is so insanely important to LA. We cannot lose that. So when I got the chance to restore The Tale of the Pup and put it back in Hollywood, that's what I've been working on for the last 5 years. I'd like to leave you with the thought that this is way more important than people think, saving iconic architecture, because you can only build it once and it cannot be built again. When someone sees something unique in Los Angeles, they have to think this is way more important than they may think it is, because all this stuff can only be built once. It can never be built again. So we have to save it.
Thank you, Bobby. Your work is incredible, and we appreciate having such an incredible leadership just across Southern California, saving these incredible properties. Next, let's hear from Lisa Strangis. She's going to tell us about the Formosa Cafe and LA history, telling us the story about the 1933 group, how the 1933 group came into respecting the essence, the enterprise vision, just bringing all these elements into their next project.
Hi, my name is Lisa Strangis, and we are at the legendary Formosa Cafe. As a native Angeleno, this is a place of incredible significance, a place that my family has been to, so it's an honor just to be standing where people before me have made memories for generations. So I'm a third generation Angeleno. My family came down to Hollywood in its foundation in the 30s. Around 1931, my great aunt was discovered by Bing Crosby's brother. And this was up in Seattle area. On a radio station, she performed, and Bing Crosby's brother said, "Hey, kid, you got something. You should get down to Hollywood." So she did. Came with her entire family of Italians. She signed with MGM. And for her, the rest was history. So I have an entire enclave of Italian Americans who really started Hollywood. So I love the Formosa because I have a relative who's a great uncle, now in his 90s. He used to be a production assistant across the street at the lot during the Goldwyn days. He would come over here and get a hamburger for Clark Gable on his lunch break. He grew in his career to be the VP of Paramount Television in the 60s. And this was the place that he would come hang out with his peers in his heyday. So in his 90s now, to look back and to stand here and say, I knew this was what it was. I have the good fortune of representing the brand and the company that restores and made this their mission. And I just love, for me, I get chills just thinking about the legacy that they have. It's my personal mission to preserve and protect the memory of my family. But I've met like-minded colleagues and peers, and the same iconic architecture I have, such an amazing network of people who also have these stories of value. And we know that the city needs to benefit from what is a very personal experience. And that's just what the beauty of the Formosa has become, and what the work that we do together as a city. We can actually protect the memories of our ancestors and the legacy of this incredible, you know, culture that we've built for years to come. And I'm just a humble custodian in a small chapter of a decade. And for people our age, in this generation, and for years to come, to have the significance and to say I can name drop and understand why we stand here as matters, it's not new, but it matters to someone and it matters to me. That's the only thing that I want to share and communicate to peers and people in my industry is, you know, this is a city that came from somewhere, and you don't have a sense of belonging for who you are in the city without knowing where we've been. My primary role is the publicist for the 1933 Group. As a press agent, I'm responsible for dealing with journalists and making sure that a story is told and heard in a certain way. And for me, it's about just turning the lights on to a group of gentlemen who have made it their mission to preserve and protect Los Angeles. So they started 20 years ago as a group that just wanted to create watering holes and a cool place to have a drink for their friends. But over the years, because of their style, which was always a nod to nostalgia or quirkiness and design, they carved out a niche for themselves in a city that's always new and always trending and the next Instagrammable moment. They strayed away from that and really honed in on the culture of how do we maintain and preserve what we have. So I'm just a vehicle for them to make sure that the right people and the right, you know, network of arbiters of kindred taste really find each other and can make some loud noise in a very loud and crowded world of media and communication. And the landscape of dining has changed so much in this city, and sometimes old-fashioned kind of takes the cake when it comes to just something what we've all been through these past few years. The simplicity of glamour and history means so much more than disposable goods. The group started as 1933 Group in honor of the end of Prohibition. They wanted to nod to yesteryear in every way that they could. So an underlying theme for all of the restaurants and bars that they work with is this sort of nod to, should we really be here having this drink or having a vintage lineup of bottles that date back to Prohibition? So everything goes back to the year that debauchery really came together and culture shifted for America. I think so many people have taken notice over the years of what the group has done that now the phone does not stop ringing. The phone calls come in and say, save the Brown Derby, or I have this childhood memory. Can you find this person that did this thing and bring it back for me? And I think it's such a blessing to know that you're being heard in that way. And for the owners, I think there's just a laundry list of a wish list of things they could save. So they have a mission for the Tail of the Pup, which is an old hot dog stand from the 40s. I can't imagine a better time for like an 18-foot hot dog stand to come back to the city of Los Angeles, but there's a demand for it now. So it's interesting that people, young and old, around the country and around the world are calling up to say, please save this memory that I have. So cool. You know, there's so many legacy bars and restaurants in this city that maybe we haven't been able to experience for a long time because they've been shut down or hibernating or because of everything we've been through, but there are no finances to keep it up and running. There are a few things that are on the brink of extinction that I think people need to know about. Between the Standard, the Chateau Marmont, you know, there are so many icons of Sunset Strip that you just drive by and you don't know. In downtown LA, there's so many Art Deco buildings that are trying to get back on their feet as office buildings or as retail complexes. There were libraries or there were banks or there were just sort of ancient historical mainstays for culture. And it's so easy to overlook them. But I think there's also an exciting opportunity to see sort of the quirky and the dramatic comeback. Like Randy's Donuts. We all know Randy's Donuts. We know the clown that's in North Hollywood, the old clown liquor store. You know, so I think that pop culture has helped us a lot, but we can't memorialize everything. Instagram maybe is working in our favor just to capture the spirit of something dramatic, but it's going to take a little bit more than that to make sure that it actually is a functioning business and has a future.
Thank you, Lisa, for all the work that you do. Next, let's hear from Jamie Adler and the work on the restoration of the Formosa Cafe, the iconic historical LA designers. Who are the LA designers that are influencing this move? And of course, the hope for the future. So why are we doing more to save iconic architecture throughout LA?
I'm Jamie Adler. We're here at the rooftop of the Formosa Cafe. And it's such a special night to celebrate architecture and history and the restoration of old Hollywood and bring it into the 21st century. I happen to be on the board of SIA, and I'm a local Angeleno. My mother was a designer in the 70s and 80s, so I have a special passion for Los Angeles and for preserving what I grew up with and making sure that my children and tourists, everyone that comes to LA, sees our heritage, because basically that's all we have in Los Angeles. We have architecture, we have Hollywood, and we have the remnants that are left, and it's our job to preserve them and to be the advocate for these buildings that don't have a voice. I learned so much tonight about the Formosa Cafe. I think I've come in here and thought, what a great job they've done in polishing it up and restoring it. But no, Bobby has actually recreated and reimagined what the Formosa Cafe should have been and brought it to today's audience. So I think many people that come here think it's an old Hollywood restaurant. But no, Bobby has reimagined what the old Hollywood restaurant should be. When I think of California and old Hollywood, I think of Tony Duquette and I think of Hutton Wilkinson, who is probably the foremost voice of carrying old Hollywood architecture, the fancy, the fanciful, the Asian-inspired theatrical architecture that California is really a representative of. There's no other state, I don't think, in the country that it can really exemplify Hollywood architecture in the way that we do. And it's our duty to preserve it. I think Kelly Wurstler is a modern day interpreter of what California is. And I think she has such an original perspective on Los Angeles. And it's something that no one's ever done before, but will be replicated all over the world. And it comes from LA, it comes from California. And I think people from all over the world look to us for that type of innovation. I am so happy that Bobby is restoring the Tail of the Pup. I remember getting hamburgers and hot dogs there. And I think that type of architecture is what people look for when they come to LA. And they may not be able to put their finger on it, but it's something that's so quintessential Los Angeles. And I really thank him for bringing some of these architectural icons back to life. I hope buildings like Bullock's Wilshire on Wilshire Boulevard will never be destroyed. It will always be honored. And there's certain buildings that evoke a vintage period, but they also speak to California. And it's our duty to retain those, to restore those, and to bring awareness to the younger generation of their importance. I think Save Iconic Architecture is doing something that nobody else is doing. They're giving a voice to buildings, and they're advocating for buildings that don't have a voice. And they're up against developers with a lot of deep pockets that want to make the dollar and destroy them. And we are rooting for them, and we will never, ever let go of these buildings, and we'll do whatever we can to keep them standing. I think California has always been the new frontier, and I think that there's a lot of opportunists, and I think there's a lot of money to be made. And I think there is, for some reason, Hollywood is not taken as seriously as something that would be taken seriously on the East Coast. And I think as the decades go by, hopefully there'll be more weight put into old Hollywood, as there would be a building that was built in the 1800s in Boston.
Thank you, Jamie, for such an educational feedback in regards to your passion for saving iconic architecture. Thank you again for joining us and listening. This is Fernando Marfil from Genair. And Sean Ayala, thank you so much for being a partner on this incredible project. We want to thank Ron and Jamie from SIA, Saving Iconic Architecture, Alison Martino, Bobby Green from the 1933 Group, Lisa Stranges, and Jamie Adler for your participation in this podcast. We appreciate everything you guys do. And yes, please continue being champions and saving iconic architecture across Southern California and beyond.
What a fabulous group. I am so thankful for their time and willingness to share with us today. That's Design Expressions Episode 2. Thank you again, and we will see you in the next episode.